Cape Talk, the world of advertising with Jonathan Cherry.
Jonathan Cherry, the director, CEO of Cherry Flavour Media, and a very good morning to you, Jonathan.
Morning, Kino.
So social media influencers who use social media to promote brands, and we see a lot of them out there taking selfies with brands, etc. They've been flying under the radar when it comes to the regulatory environment for quite some time, but this might change, and this is if the advertising authorities have their say. Tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, so Kino, as you know, advertising in this country is regulated by the Advertising Regulatory Board, which is constituted under an Act of Parliament. The idea behind this authority is to help protect the public from misleading or false advertising. It's also to make sure that advertisers are responsible when they put their messages out there and they don't prejudice each other. The problem is that advertising itself has become far more organic. And as you mentioned, with the rise of social media, some individuals are more popular on platforms like Instagram than what some big media titles are.
Yeah.
But the rules of the regulatory doesn't necessarily apply to them. So just as a recent example, we spoke about that VW campaign, VW Drive Dry, that fooled a lot of people into believing that that stunt was real and the influencer involved was actually hurt. Under the new rules, that would never happen because they did not disclose that it was an advertising campaign beforehand. So some of the new guidelines that the authority are looking at doing is that social media ads should not contain deceptive, false, or misleading content. So messaging should be responsible and authentic. Marketers should make sure that paid social media ads are obviously identifiable as such. So the ad needs to say that it is an ad or it's sponsored in some form. Brands are required to provide the influencer with enough information about whatever they're about to endorse for sufficient understanding.
Right.
Influencers need to disclose their involvement with marketers, and any declarations that are actually guided by some industry standards, so regulations that apply to certain industries. So you think of the car industry or the tobacco industry, they need to be clearly adhered to, which at the moment is not the case. And the last one, which is most interesting, is that parody accounts need to clearly indicate that they are not real and that they're a parody account. So you just think of that Barry Rue account when Pistorius was going through thing. That cannot happen the way that it did. They need to clearly indicate that it is as such. So some interesting changes that are happening. If you're interested, there's a great documentary on Netflix at the moment about the Fyre Festival in the United States, which was promoted by influencers who largely sold a false sense what this festival was going to be, and a lot of them faced class action lawsuits as a result of that false advertising. So to protect the public as well as the influencers who get involved with marketers in these campaigns.
So if L'Oreal, for example, uses, and I know that as a matter of fact what they do use is they don't go for the influencers with hundreds of thousands of followers. They take influencers within certain niches. So if you're a stylist, for example, and you use certain products, they will supply certain products to these influencers, but people who work in that industry, so the beauty industry. And these people just end up doing their hair and their makeup and whatever, and they post all of this. And now those influencers have to say, oh, by the way, this post is sponsored by L'Oreal or whatever.
Well, not even that. They would have to disclose in their bio that they are actually involved with L'Oreal. So perhaps not on an individual post, but they need to disclose that they have a relationship with the brand.
I wonder how that's going to actually affect the advertising. Because you want a lot of that to be, you know, yes, I'm using these products. They do work. But it takes away a little bit of something, I think, if you have to disclose that I have this relationship with L'Oreal. I don't know. I'm in two minds about that. Yeah. I don't know what your thoughts are.
No, for sure. Look, any kind of regulation is going to throttle the industry to a certain degree. So for sure. I think what you've got to weigh up is that you know, should there just be a free-for-all, or should there be protection of society? And I think that's what they're trying to do.
Indeed.
They're just trying to make sure that people don't get fooled by these things into really believing that these people are, you know, just crazy about this product. Just understand that there is certain levels of bias in the post itself, and I think that's one of the bad ideas.
Well, it's an interesting conundrum, quite frankly. Your pick of the week, Gillette's ad has polarized the internet. Pray tell.
Kia, in the 1980s, Gillette came out with their famous slogan, "The best a man can get." And in those days, the ads promoted the ideas that were very stereotypical of what masculinity looked like. So there'd be a guy driving a speedboat well above the speed limit. There'd be a hedge fund guy doing a deal on Wall Street. Some dude in a gym curling 25-kilogram free weights without even breaking a sweat. Those are all the things that were hot in the 1980s. But in 2019, what is the future of masculinity? You just think of the Me Too campaign. There's a lot of question around gender roles in society. And Gillette have taken the opportunity and somewhat of a risk to ask the question in a new ad that is now trending very heavily on social media, on YouTube. And the idea that they're trying to portray is that men should be coaching men to be better. And to look at themselves and to see what contribution they're making in society. The ad ends with the line that says it's only by challenging ourselves to do more that we can get closer to being our best. And then there's a web address, which is thebestmencanbe.org, which details some of these ideas. Now, in my mind, Kino, I think it's a valuable question to be asked. The problem is that it's totally polarized the internet. So you remember the backlash that Nike got from that Kaepernick ad last year. There are many groups on social media which are threatening to never buy a Gillette product again. They're offended by this whole thing. So it was a risky move. In my mind, the ad itself is not very good. So I don't think Gillette did a great job. And the way that it comes across is that they're kind of jumping on a bandwagon rather than bringing something brand new to the debate. They're not necessarily bringing a new idea or taking like a strong stand. They're just asking a question which in my mind is being asked in a little bit of a weak way. So it looks like they spotted a trend and they thought, ooh, this would be like a cool thing for us to get involved with. But they haven't really fully committed in my mind. So for that reason, I think strategically it was a bit of a sketchy move. I don't think it was well thought out. It's not the same as the way Nike have done their thing, because the statement itself really resonates with the Nike brand. This Gillette thing just sounds like they've spotted an opportunity and they're half-heartedly going into it. So I think the question is a good one to ask. The way they executed it was super poor.
Yeah.
But have a look and see what you think of the whole thing.
Well, you know what? I tend to agree that the question is a pertinent one, but I have, thank heavens, I've moved over to Schick Hydro 5. So, much better show for me. Thank you very much. Jonathan, great chatting. Thank you so much. Jonathan Cherry, director of Cherry Flavor Media. It